This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Taking a look to your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Thursday evening's close, corn for July was up 12 to 442. September corn finished to 447 and three quarters, up 9.5, and December corn finished at 455 and three quarters yesterday, up 7.25. Soybeans for July were to 888, up 10. August beans finished yesterday at 894.5, up 9.75. And September soybeans were to 901.75, up 10 cents. Chicago wheat for July was to 535.5, up 9.25 yesterday. September wheat were to 539, up 8 cents. And December wheat was to 549.75, up 7.5. Soybean meal for July was to 321.70, up 220. August bean meal was to 322.90, up 210. And September bean meal was to 324.60, up 220. Finally, soybean oil yesterday finished at 28.02 for July, up 46. August bean oil was to 28.16, up 47. And September bean oil was to 28.27, up 45. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Thursday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Thursday afternoon on more rain forecasts causing planting delays and increasing prevent planting acres. In northern and western Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids 12 to 16 cents higher, 397 to 430. Soybeans bids are up 12 to 14 cents at 807 to 849. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 cents higher at 413 to 437. Soybean bids are up 10 to 12 cents at 830 to 865. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 14 to 15 cents higher at 403 to 457. Soybean bids are up 10 cents at 832 to 874. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 to 15 cents higher at 866 to 893. Basis was steadied up 5 at 2200 to 5 over the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 309.70 to 331.70 a ton, up 220 to 320 a ton. With basis unchanged to up 1 at 12 under to 10 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 12 cents at 434 to 456. With basis steady at 8 under to 14 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 12 cents higher at 4.25 to 442, with basis unchanged at 17 under the option in July. Soybeans ended up 13 cents at 861 to 869, with basis up 3 at 27 under to 19 under the July. New crop wheat prices were 9 cents higher at 506 to 536, with basis steady at 30 under the option in July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 15 to 17 cents higher at 456 to 457. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 to 11 cents, quotations at 892 to 893. Soft wheat closed up 10 cents at 572 to 574. Milo ended the day 12 cents higher at 466 to 467. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 402 to 428. Soybeans at 838 to 860. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 421 to 436. Soybeans at 851 to 880. And June, July wheat at 516 to 555. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 402 to 446. Soybeans at 844 to 875. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to livestock futures from Thursday's close on the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for June were to 109.05, down 60 cents. August live cattle were to 104.72, down 47. And October live cattle were to 106.15, down 22. August feeders finished Thursday evening to 136.22, down $1.57. September feeders were to 136.50, down $1.50. And October feeders were to 136.47, down $1.67. Lean hogs for June were to 79.22, up 20. July lean hogs Thursday finished at 83.37, down a dollar. And August lean hogs were to 82.82, up 30 cents. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield once again this morning for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting at the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 32 cents lower, in a range of 67 to 78 and a quarter, with a weighted average carcass price of 75.75. In the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were steady, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows, 400 pounds, traded 26 to 33, 4 to 5 weight at 28 to 35, 5 to 6 weight at 30 to 37, in over 600 pounds, $32 to $40. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts, country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $47 to $51. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $22,185. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $110 to $116.50. And on a dress basis at $183 to $185.50. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $110 to $116. And on a dress basis at $183 to $185. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 293 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $83.01, which is 50 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $222.10, which is 5 cents lower, while select carcasses are $204.71, which is $202 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 476,000 compared to 474,000 last week and 440,000 one year ago. A recap of the Greenville livestock auction for Wednesday, June 12th. Had total receipts of 430. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a quarter higher. Holstein steers were 75 cents higher. Choice steers from 115 to 121. Holstein steers from 82 to 88 and a quarter. Choice heifers 114 to 120. And Holstein heifers from $80 to $85. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at your national ag news on this Friday morning, the USDA has picked the Kansas City region as the new location for its Economic Research Service and National Institute of Food and Agriculture. The move continues to generate controversy in the nation's capital. The Kansas City region, with its existing concentration of federal agencies, heartland location, as well as closeness to land-grant schools, was picked over Indiana and North Carolina's research triangle. But Capitol Hill Democrats, including Ag Biotech Chair Stacy Plaskett, charges the Trump USDA is only after staff cuts.
ERS and NIFA are already understaffed. Instead of pushing forward a proposal that will only exacerbate staff losses, USDA should be working to adequately staff these agencies.
Plaskett argues that USDA should not make it harder to work in other agencies and research entities. But Ranking Subcommittee Republican Neil Dunn charges the Democrats are playing politics, despite knowing the USDA is fighting with the D.C. high cost of living.
And USDA cited that as a fact as one of the biggest reasons why it's difficult to attract top talent and why the department struggles to fill its positions.
Democrats have introduced the Agricultural Research Integrity Act, which Dunn claims will force the relocation back to Washington of thousands of ARS researchers.
The Agricultural Research Service has about 4,500 researchers and other staff working in facilities throughout the nation. Outside Washington, D.C. If this bill were to become law, several ARS research stations throughout the country would actually close.
Critics charge the administration is trying to hollow out the USDA and force a brain drain that ends research that is inconvenient to its political position, while the USDA argues it's purely a move to improve efficiency and customer service. The American Farm Bureau analysis says farmers in five Midwestern states claimed just about half of the more than $8.5 billion in trade help from the USDA as compensation for losses due to trade disputes. The analysis shows that Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Indiana received just about half of the market facilitation program payments that have been made up to May 13th. Retaliatory tariffs have been especially hard on beans, so soybean farmers received a large share of payment help. The average payment rate was $1.65 per bushel, so soybean producers have received $7 billion as of May 13th. Cotton payments, on the other hand, were calculated at 6 cents per pound, with producers receiving payments totaling $471 million. Dairy received just 2% of payments sent out as of May 13th, coming in at $180 million in assistance. Corn producers also received only 2% of payments thus far. The payment rate for corn farmers was roughly 1 cent per bushel, with farmers receiving about $132 million. The American Farm Bureau says those direct payments are no replacement for lost markets. However, they do help farmers meet some immediate financial needs. And in our last National Ag story for this Friday morning, sign up for the new Dairy Margin Coverage Program begins on June 17th. It's operated by the Farm Service Agency and is a big part of the dairy safety net designed to help dairy farmers manage the volatility of milk and feed prices. The new program offers protection for dairy farmers when the difference between the all-milk price and the average feed cost, which is the margin, falls below a certain dollar amount that is selected by each producer. With an environment of low milk price, high economic stress, and a new safety net program with higher coverage levels and lower premiums, it's the right time for dairy producers to give enrollment some serious consideration when the sign-up opens, says Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. The choice is likely a no-brainer for many smaller dairies, as the retroactive coverage through January has already assured them that the 2019 payment will exceed the required premiums. The program is retroactive back to January 1st of this year, with applicable payments to follow soon after enrollment. Other than a $100 administrative fee, DMC covers catastrophic coverage to a producer at no cost. Producers can opt for greater coverage levels for a premium combined with the administrative fee. Taking a look into state ag news, Congressman Roddy Davis recently paid a visit to flooded Hardin on the county seat of flood-ravaged Calhoun County. Davis followed up his visit with a vote for a compromise disaster supplemental bill, which includes funding for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to repair levees along the Mississippi River to minimize the impact of future flooding. Davis says after a failed levee, residents have had to go to extremes to get to work and otherwise leave the county.
What this means is the Illinois River overtopped that levee and it cuts off Calhoun County, their only bridge that they have into their community. So it takes anyone who's working in the Jerseyville area, anybody who may be working in the St. Louis area, because there are no ferries that are operating on either side of the river, and it makes their drive about a three-hour drive each way. They've got to go north up to Pittsfield and then back down south, either on the Missouri side or on the Illinois side.
Davis is also looking for long-term answers.
It is crucial that we figure out a way to get that Nutwood levee fixed in the future, make sure that it's more stable so that communities like Hardin can't get taken out for a few months. Like they don't expect to be back in for a few months right now, and that's tragic.
Davis also says the nation's lock and dam system is aging and must be improved to diminish the threat of flooding and also to transport the nation's grain from Illinois and other Midwestern states downriver. Is it time to feel more optimistic with more corn and soybeans now in the ground? Maybe. Some nice progress was made in the latest crop progress report, with 73% of the corn crop now planted and 49% of the soybean crop. As for the weather prospects moving into the summer months...
Well, we did look at some past years. We looked at some years that were unusually wet during the December through May time frame. for the prime corn and soybean part of the country. This the past 6 months, ending in May, was one of the wettest such periods ever. In looking at back at some past years, and if you look at summer weather during those years, there tends to be a little bit of a trend for below normal rainfall from Illinois and Wisconsin westward into the western Midwest. The greater rainfall amounts during the heart of summer tend to be in the eastern part of the Midwest, but you have quite a bit of variety among those years also. So even though those tendencies are there, they're not 100% by any means. Temperature-wise, it's kind of all over the place. You've got some hot summers in there. 1983 is among those lists, but you've also got some cool summers. So temperatures tend to wash out to more normal when you average those years together. It's kind of just a look ahead at summer based on the wetness we've had recently here in the Midwest.
And that was Dan Hicks, who serves as an agricultural meteorologist for Freeze Notice Weather. And taking a look into a bit more local news, the 91st State FFA Convention up in Springfield finished yesterday with the election of the major state officers. Also, awards were given out to many local FFA chapters within the sections of 15 and 19. I caught up with a few of those members over the course of the last 3 days, and will be bringing you a few of those interviews I had to you here this morning. A few of these interviews you might have already heard, but maybe you'd like to hear them again. So we'll start out with the Nokomis FFA chapter. We're here at the 91st State FFA Convention up here at Springfield at the Bank of Springfield Center, and I have a couple Nokomis FFA members with me, Cody Nodal and Kristen Masher. Cody, you were up here for a few events for the next couple days, so what did you have going on yesterday and so far throughout the convention?
Yesterday morning I got to come up here, and I was able to compete in the state contest for the prepared public speaking aspect. I later found out yesterday evening that I made top three, so I will await those results on Thursday. And then yesterday afternoon, I got to receive my Star Chapter President Bronze Award. And then I also have a state degree that I plan on getting tonight. And then tomorrow, like I said earlier, I get to serve as a delegate and hopefully elect the new officers for the FFA for the coming year, and also while waiting on those results for that public speaking.
And you also served as vice president for Section 19, so how did that year go for you?
It was an awesome year. I had a great team that I got to work with, and I had a blast traveling all around the section, visiting different schools, and getting to partake in several aspects that you don't get to if you're not a section officer. And it's definitely a year I'm not going to forget, and it was a year that I had a blast doing and would recommend a section office to anyone.
And you'll be moving on to college, so what are your plans here after high school?
After high school, I'm going to attend Lakeland College in the fall, and I'm going to pursue an agronomy degree while also being on the livestock judging team at Lakeland College. And then after that, I'm still kind of keeping my options open on where I plan to attend a four-year school, but I plan to stay in the Midwest and continue with agronomy after that as well.
All right, Cody, thank you so much. And I've got Kristen Masher here also, and you competed in the AgriScience Fair, and you're only an eighth grade member. That's kind of unique for Nokomis. So what did you have to do to put together for the AgriScience Fair?
Well, it's kind of a combination of my science fair project and my SAE. I had to be judged on it and see how well I did and to see if I can go to national.
So what was your SAE and what was the project about?
I took coffee grounds and used it as a fertilizer for tomato plants.
And did you find a positive or negative when it came to that? Was the fertilizer helpful or did it not actually work out?
It's actually very helpful. I used different amounts of coffee grounds to determine which amount would better the growth.
And your SAE, it relates to horticulture, I guess?
Yes.
I'm here with Mackenzie Adams with the Nokomis FFA chapter. And Mackenzie, you were a state winner in your proficiency award. We caught back up with you back in February and kind of here at the end of the road for that. So what was the proficiency for, and kind of take us through that process you had to go through?
My proficiency was nursery operations, which means that I got to work at the local greenhouse, Nokomis Gift and Garden. And I was there for 3 years, and I got to, put dirt in plants, water plants, whatever they needed me to do. I was even doing deliveries at the end.
And you're moving through here, through this process. You've won the state award, senior. What's your plans here after high school?
Well, my plans are to go to the University of Illinois and be in the College of ACES. So I just registered for classes, and I'm really excited about that in the fall.
And what is your major going to be, and what are you looking forward to? Are you staying within agriculture?
My major is either going to be agri-accounting or agribusiness. I haven't decided yet, so we're still in the ACES undeclared. But I'm also living in the 4-H house, so I'll be sticking with the agriculture background.
And probably one of many state conventions you've been to so far. So being your last FFA convention, what are a few highlights you've seen and favorite parts?
It's definitely bittersweet, but some of the state officers are really making it feel like home. Eliza Petrie is one of them, and we even got to register for classes at the U of I together, and then Taylor Harkey's always smiling at me and making me feel like she knows me, which is a really awesome thing, so it's just bittersweet.
All right, Mackenzie, and any closing remarks you'd like to just say here for this convention?
Just, I believe in the future of agriculture.
And again, that was Cody Nodal, Kristen Masher, and Mackenzie Adams, all of the Nokomis FFA chapter. And sticking with Section 19 and Montgomery County, I had a chance to speak with Erin Kistner of the Hillsboro FFA chapter. She received a gold recognition as a chapter reporter for her previous year of work. Erin, it probably took quite a bit of work over the course of the year, so what did you have to do to earn this award?
Well, I mean, it started off with writing news articles every week, getting involved with the members, and making myself work harder. I did have to do an application to get this, and it did take me a lot of time, but in the long run, this was definitely worth it. It was a great experience going on stage and seeing everyone. But I will never forget being my chapter reporter, which I am still at this time, and also I'm going to be a Section 19 reporter also.
And you've probably got a lot of new ideas and new goals for the next year. You've already got a good setup with this award you've got, so looking for bigger and better things here next year?
I definitely am. I'm looking forward to making a monthly newsletter, getting involved with the whole Section 19, and meeting all the new people and getting more people involved with the FFA.
What are your overall thoughts about convention thus far? It's been action-packed just like always.
You're right, it has. There's been great speakers, so many colleges to see on the stands and everything, and I'm just so happy to see our chapter succeed.
And anything else you'd like to say here before we go?
I'd like to say that if you have a chance to go to FFA convention, state convention, go, because it is a great experience.
And again, that was Erin Kistner, Hillsboro chapter reporter, as well as Section 19 reporter. Erin also received gold recognition yesterday at the state convention for the scrapbook she put together for Hillsboro's events over the past year. And that's all for this morning's edition of the Farm Show, but we'll be back with you this afternoon. So for this Friday morning, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.